You're listening to Dave's Good Vibration Station with Dave Cohen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
What's up, guys? You've just tuned in to Dave's Good Vibration Station on LATalkRadio.com, world's most listened to internet talk radio station. Always positive energy, all the seven colors swirling in the studio from our hearts to yours. Every Sunday at 1, thank you so much for tuning in with us every single week to raise your vibration. Welcome to the Vibration Station. I'm your host, Davey, and this is the show where we talk about anything and everything to raise your vibe. What do we mean by that? Well, every single thought that we think, every single action that we make, every single momentum that we put our thoughts towards, it creates a vibration, right? A vibration in consciousness and universe. It is all a vibrational consciousness. We are vibrational consciousness. Everything in this universe operates under what we like to call the law of vibration, right? If you're into quantum physics, the spiritual aspects of the human experience, possibly connection, mind, body, spirit. This is what we're talking about. And we have a very special show for you today with a very, very special guest. I'd like to welcome the one and only Dr. Michelle. Oh, excuse me. Dr. Michelle, welcome to the show. It is such a pleasure.
Hey, Davey. Thanks for having me.
It is such a pleasure to have you here, first and foremost. Thank you for being on the show.
My pleasure.
For those of you that are familiar with Doc, y'all already know to tune in every single Friday at 11. That's in the AM on LATalkRadio.com channel 1. That's On the Couch with Dr. Michelle. She is just one of the most informative, loving, compassionate, understanding, caring people in the world.
Aw, thank you.
She really is. And if you guys have any psychological, questions or concerns, turmoil that you'd like to churn a little bit, definitely tune in to, LA Talk Radio's On the Couch with Dr. Michelle every Friday at 11 a.m. Can't miss that. Doc, how you doing today?
Good, feeling good, man. It's just a beautiful day. It's Sunday and relaxed, and I'm happy to help you and talk about changing our thoughts and changing our life.
Bam. Well, hey, you took the words right out of my mouth, Doc. Today, we are going to be talking about changing your thoughts and changing your life. We're also going to be quoting some concepts from the book. You ready for this, guys? Everyone's going to love this. Everyone, when I say this, they're going to say, ooh, this is a great show. The Science of Getting Rich, right?
Yeah.
Very, very powerful book. Now, this book was originally written by a gentleman, W.D. Wattles, right? And this man wrote this book about 100 years ago, believe it or not. Okay, this book is in alignment with, Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich, his most famous book. He was an author of many. But this book, The Science of Getting Rich by W.D. Wattles, is in perfect alignment with what we talk about here on the Vibration Station. And the fact that it was written 100 years ago, just about 100 years ago, is more than fascinating to me. So what this tells me is that these concepts have been circulating our planet for not only the last couple generations, but, you know, the last, a minimum of the last 3 to 4 generations, 5, 6, 7, because then he got it from someone who got it from someone else 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 who got it from someone else. In his book, he talked about how these teachings are originally from the Hindu belief system of all substance in the universe is created from the exact same matter, right? It's all thought matter. Now, the reason why I asked Dr. Michelle to come on the show with us today and spend a portion of the show with us is because, you know, I of course like to exercise the spiritual and metaphysical aspects of the concepts that we talk about, but for the listeners out there and for me, I want some physical proof too. I want some real hardcore mathematical physical data proof that's going to show me that the stuff that I'm saying has value behind it, has truth behind it. So that's why we bring in Doc Michelle, because she has the psychological grasp on literally what's happening, you know, in the brain, what's happening on an emotional level when you decide to make these conscious shifts.
So, yeah, that's true.
Doctor, I'd like to start with a concept. I'm going to say this quote that is from the book, The Science of Getting Rich. I'm just gonna say this quote, and I would love for you to kind of expand on it and tell me what you think. All right. So, the universe is a great living presence, always moving inherently toward more life and fuller functioning. Okay. Thoughts, any thoughts you have, whether it be I like that, I don't like that, I want that, I don't want that, thought in general.
Right.
Thought is the power which can produce tangible riches from the formless substance, being the universe. Formless substance is potential substance, vibrating molecules, you know, in 99.999% of everything solid is actually hollow. Right? That's all vibrating potential. So what he's saying here is thought is the only power which can produce tangible riches from the formless substance. The stuff from which all things are made is a substance which thinks. And a thought of form in this substance produces the form in which momentum is given.
Yeah.
So, basically what this is saying here is the way that physical manifestations are created all starts from thought. What it's saying is nothing is created without thought intervention. Not only that, but nothing is created without it being thought up first.
Right.
Now, can you approach that from a psychological aspect? Tell us a little bit about that. What do you think about that? What are your thoughts?
Oh, you're so funny. No, I really agree with that. And it sounds like you're really talking about wealth today, you know, kind of manifesting that, which is great. But I think it pertains to everything we do.
Well, again,
you know,
absolutely.
Kind of trying to keep positive thoughts about, you know, relationships.
Exactly.
Or health, or like you said, wealth, you know, obtaining abundance, just feeling good every day.
Exactly.
So, you know, just talking about our brains, it's sort of like it reflects everything that we know and have experienced in our life. You know, I mean, we are just the most powerful computers,
yes,
right, in
yes,
our brain.
Yes.
So, every time that we interact with the world, those events shape and mold who we are today.
Absolutely.
That's what I believe. And so if you want to get, you know, we've heard of the neurons that fire and wire together. The more you think something, the stronger the feelings and thoughts get, whatever, if they're good or bad thoughts. You know, I am poor consciousness. I'll never have wealth. I'll never be happy. I'll never have a relationship, whatever those thoughts are. They fire and wire together.
Yes, indeed.
And they form trillions of connections, right?
Trillions.
In our brain.
Quadrillions.
Because we learn and form memories.
Yes.
So our brain is like a living record of the past. So
yes.
What happens is we're always being triggered about all of those beliefs based on what's happened to us in the past. And, you know, we're kind of like victims of our personal realities, right?
Right. Isn't that interesting?
It creates our personalities. And it's kind of unconscious after a while. That's what I try to, you know, teach people to kind of undo some of that subconscious belief.
Yes.
That is negative.
I was going to say, it's somewhat of a paradox, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like we say to ourselves, you know, we don't want this, we don't want this, we don't want this. But every single time that we say we don't want something, we keep beating the drum of activating it in our neural patterns, right?
Right, exactly. And, you know, our thoughts are the language of the brain and feelings are the language of the body sometimes.
Mm.
So, you know, what happens with a lot of people I see, our brain makes neuropeptides, which kind of sends messages to our bodies. And then our body reacts by having feelings. So,
yes,
I mean, then the brain kind of notices the body's having a feeling, so the brain generates another thought matched exactly to that feeling. So it's kind of like, I really understand what you're talking about when you're saying we need to sort of change up our thoughts, and it does change up our feelings. It's kind of a loop, you know, that we get on.
Yes.
We have to sort of get out of that. We're into a fixed pattern of neural circuitry, as they call it.
Yes, indeed.
You know, so.
Yes, indeed.
What we have to do is learn how to get out of those thoughts and feelings to sort of create new thoughts and feelings.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Please correct me if I'm wrong, but there is philosophical approach in psychology that states, you know, when one is dependent or, you know, dependent on something or addicted to something or used to something reoccurring, it will inevitably be replaced with something else, whether it be negative and or positive. There's always a replacement of whatever it is that you're trying to get rid of. So it's not like you can ever rid yourself of something. You can only exchange the energy for a different vibrational signature or a different content of energy, whichever, you know, metaphor serves you better. It's literally like you're just swapping out one belief for another that serves you better, right? It's like, just like you're changing cars. You can't go without a car, or, you know, at least in Los Angeles, if you live in a smaller community, you can't go without a bike, right? Whether it's a car or a bike, you still need a form of transportation. It's just up to you whether you choose to, you know, save the money in gas and ride a bike, or make more money and make enough to buy gas and insurance and drive a car. It's all a choice, but one way or another, they are being transmuted. They are not being eliminated. That's kind of the main point of that. So,
but they will fade. I mean, I think I know exactly what you're saying. It has to do with replacing, if you want to replace negative thoughts or fears, simply by, it's almost like you said, shifting your focus to something else that you would prefer. Shifting your focus to a small, different, you know, step-by-step, they say, positive thing that you enjoy doing. Shifting your focus from, let's just say, waking up every morning and saying, oh my God, I have to go to another day of work, or, you know, whatever it is. Shifting your focus to what exciting things are you going to do on the weekend?
Yes.
Training your thoughts to say, what can I find in work that might be sort of fun? Who are some of the people I like there?
Exactly.
Or if not, or anything, I think I'm going to do something really different this weekend and do something really fun and thrilling and whatever it is. And so you constantly work on changing the thoughts to kind of change your mood, change your orientation. And, you know, I really am into manifesting things in our lives by changing thought. So you're right on that, Dave. And I think it's chemical. I think it's biological. I think it's can be spiritual, too.
Yes.
But
yes,
I think, you know, it's all about reconditioning our minds, reconditioning our feelings in the conscious state. And it's all chemical in the brain. And then trying to live our lives, you know, as we slowly change and adapt to these changes.
Right.
You know.
I think you said that. You couldn't have said that more beautifully. Truly. I mean, that really, really, that was perfectly said. So in addition to that. I guess you could say an addition or a summarization of that would be things are created where momentum is put, right?
Right, right.
I guess in short, you know, you could say that just like you said earlier, you know, if you're beating the drum of poverty, or you don't feel a certain way about something, then you're going to attract that exact relationship that you feel with whatever it is that your relationship is towards. So if that was a little bit confusing, I guess in other words, the only things that are created in your life are those in which you put momentum towards. Also, I want to bring up this concept that no one or no thing can assert anything negative into your life, right? I'm so sorry. Yes, except yourself. Except yourself. Touche, Doc. No one, I guess I should have modified my explanation and said, no one or no thing outside of you can modify your vibration, right? So, on a daily basis, we are having these experiences. We're having, you know, this. I always use this. If you guys are avid listeners of Vibration Station, which you should be, I always use this example. When you're sitting in traffic, you know, it's like when you're sitting in traffic, we have a choice. You can flip the person off that cut you off, or you can understand that, you know, they're having a rushed day too. You know, it's all vibrational momentum. It's all, you know, where I know this is sounding like there's multiple ideas in one, but it really is an all in one concept. It's like anything you put momentum towards is going to manifest. If you are stuck in traffic and you flip someone off, you're only going to attract more people to flip off, and you're only going to attract more people to flip you off. You know, it's not until you make a deliberate conscious decision to become a more peaceful, happier, more understanding individual that your reality will start reflecting to you significant changes.
Yes, yeah, exactly. I agree. I was talking to someone a while back who came into my office, and they are really fearful of public speaking, but they have to sort of talk to groups in their work environment, you know.
Yes.
They have to prepare these, you know, like assistant management talks and try to inspire people, right?
Yes. Yes.
So he was telling me that he has fear of speaking, and he's fearful that he is not good enough. And he sort of gave like a speech, and he felt the environment. He felt that it didn't go all that well. He was kind of like feeling weird when it was happening. It was like, he said, he explained it to me like he didn't feel good going in. He's very low in his self-esteem. The lights, those yucky kind of, fluorescent lights were sharp. And he kind of put a joke out there and nobody laughed. Oh. They're all staring at him.
Oh, that's the worst.
His temperature felt hot. He smelled his cologne, which he didn't like because he forgot he put on his own. I mean, all these, like, feelings and thoughts came together. And then he was driving home and he started torturing himself. Oh, my God, people are making fun of me. I'm so horrible. Mm-hmm. I didn't do what I wanted to do. So he kept recalling the event and every little thing about it, like when he'd interpret the negative feeling, like the people would look at him or he'd say something wrong or he'd stutter. He kept going over and over and over. So I tried to explain to him that every time he reminds himself,
yes,
which is reproducing the same level of mind of his bad experience, he keeps producing the same chemicals in his brain.
Exactly.
So what happens is he keeps reaffirming it. Because here's the deal. Our body acts like as an unconscious mind. So it doesn't know the difference between the actual event, like that horrible moment that he was experiencing for like half an hour of speaking in public, and the emotional state. Excuse me. So the more he started thinking the thoughts of how horrible he was, how people think he's bad, and then he's doing this all the way home. And then when he gets home, he tells his partner how horrible it was, and that kind of chemically conditions his body more. And then he goes out to the sports bar at night and he tells his friends how he messed up. And then, you know, it just goes on and on. And then the rest of the whole week he's torturing himself. And then he starts to feel sick. He starts to feel dizzy and uncomfortable. And then he comes to the conclusion, I am not a good public speaker.
No.
I'm bad and all this. So what we're trying to do is basically is change his thinking and change his behavior and train him to not be enslaved by his own thoughts and body.
Beautiful.
So, and we can apply that to everything. We can apply that to relationships, the people that say, oh, I'll never have a good relationship, or nobody will want me, or I'm not worthy of making money, I'm not worthy of, you know, the wealth that I want.
Whatever.
I'm so sorry, my dog's barking. I'm moving into my other studio here. You know, it's just sort of like we have to condition our minds and our feelings to change our reality.
Yes.
And it's, you know, it's just the way it is.
Absolutely.
But we keep repeating the same patterns every day.
Yes.
Every day, because that's our emotional memory. So we keep repeating the same negative patterns because it's so easy to go there.
Because we have the pre-structured neuronets, right? Because we have those. Because we have those neuronets. So, question to you, Doc. So, if we were to exercise the opposite of that, if we were to, let's say, for 30 or 60 or 90 days straight, exercise. Well, okay. So, deliberately, we say, I, David Cohen, want to change my thoughts on, we'll take it on wealth. Let's just say that, okay? Let's say because everybody loves money, everybody wants more money. There's nothing wrong with wanting an unconditional amount of wealth. So let's just say, you know, my name is David or blah, blah, blah. Say your name, blah, blah, blah. And I want to improve my vibration on wealth, right? For the next 30 days, which then is going to, by creating neural nets, going to lead me into the next rest of my life. For the next 30 days, I'm going to train myself on feeling what it feels like to be a millionaire. Here's that.
Yes.
And then what am I going to do? Well, the moment that I say that to myself, I think of, oh my God, I'm going to have to do these many things to get that much money. It's going to take me this long. It's oh my gosh, what a far-fetched goal, right? Or I can say $1 million circulates with with such indescribable effortlessness in our economy. There's trillions and trillions, if not quadrillions, of dollars that are circulating in our economy, and for me to have a million of it is not even a drop in the bucket. So
right.
You know, I could practice this, and I could say, you know, I'm passionate about so many things, and if I just slowly here and slowly there, one by one, put my excitement, put a little bit of energy into creating something that could yield me some, you know, financial wealth, you know, by following a passion over here, and then I'll do the same thing by following a passion over here, and I'll just have fun with
right.
it. You know, what you do is you start shifting the vibrational content, you start shifting your vibrational signature, and you start shifting literally where you stand in time and space and universe, and the universe that you are operating in, and you move towards a universe that supports your belief system more accurately, right?
Yes, exactly.
So Doc, question for you. How do we move from feeling and just... Before I ask this question, I'm sorry, I want to say I use wealth as the platform. I use wealth as the metaphorical example and the literal example, because wealth represents your alignment with being a creator, right?
Yeah.
In the world that we live in, you know, to own a house, to own the car that you want, to live in the place that you want, to own the possessions that you want, you know, it does require currency. It does require a form of monetary value that everybody agrees upon exchanging. So, you
right.
know, why not be passionate about obtaining this form of currency exchange and know that it's here to help you, not to deserve
right.
you? And if we, you know, so I could go on forever about that. But Doc, I want to ask you, how could we move in consciousness from, dang, you know, I need to put in this many hours to create this much? How can we move from that to, well, there's so much money circulating in the economy, and all I have to do is follow my passions? What as a psychologist, what steps could we take as a you know, nationally renowned, world renowned celebrity psychologist, which I'm very grateful to have on the show? What could we do? What exercises could we start practicing that will shift our momentum into the arena of allowing, you know, whatever it is we want, let it be money, relationships, a greater wealth of experience, a greater wealth of life, whatever it is?
Wow, that's a great, really heavily loaded question, and there's no one right answer to that question. Thank you, by the way, for the props. I appreciate it.
Well, it's very true.
You're great. So
make sure to make sure to check out talkshowtherapist.com. That's www.talkshowtherapist.com. Talkshowtherapist.com. You got to check it out. Dr. Michelle is the planet's psychologist. She's just too awesome.
Thank you, Dave. Here's the thing. You know, what I'll do is I'll give you some ideas that I give my patients to help them move through whatever they want to change.
Before you do this, how much is this going to cost me?
It's free for you.
Oh, all right, listeners, pen and pad, let's go.
You know, we have, like I was saying earlier, we have to change our brains and our bodies.
Yes.
You know, through thought, repetition, change our circuitry. So how do we learn new things? Well, mm-hmm. how do we learn? Through what are called mnemonics, repetition and rehearsal.
Ah.
Over and over and over, pushing into our thoughts the feelings and thoughts, images that we want in our life.
Wow.
So let's talk about the wealthy person that you're talking about.
Sure.
Let's do that. The consciousness, or the person who really wants more wealth, Or we can talk about the guy who I was talking about earlier, who is really fearful of public speaking, but is sort of forced into it and has to do it. So he goes through these horrible experiences. So what do you want? What do you want? You have to define what you want and how much of it you think you are worthy to enjoy.
Oh, that's huge.
Well, okay. Many people who are in the consciousness of I want more are in that place because they don't feel they're worthy of it. So you really have to define what you would really think that you are okay enough about accepting. Wow. You have to overcome that. Am I worthy enough to, I mean, if it's a little bit, you got to overcome a little bit to be worthy of, well, I'd like this amount of money in the bank, or I'd like to own my own house. Define the reasonable thing, not go to, I'm a billionaire. You know, that's unreasonable. What are you willing to say that you're worthy of having?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So you've got to have acceptance of what you're worthy of having. And then what I think you should do is when you start to have those thoughts of, oh, I'm not enough, or, oh, I don't have enough, you have to immediately switch those thoughts. We're so self-indulgent with our pity parties in our brains.
Yes,
right?
Indeed. Yes,
it's just,
indeed.
It's just automatically wired. So what we have to do is truly change up the chemical processes. And the more we talk about we don't have enough wealth, like I said earlier,
right,
the more we worry about it in our minds, the more we go to bed thinking about it, we're going to have it in our subconscious. It's going to be there. We have to change up our thoughts of, you know what, I'm worthy of this, and
yes,
I'm willing to accept it. All right?
Yes.
So change up visions in your mind and get pictures out of whatever, online pictures of things that you would like to acquire.
Yes.
Again, it's acceptance of what you think you are worthy of having. So there's a nice home online. I'm going to pull up that picture, and every morning I want a home. So I'm going to look at that home. You know, if it's outrageously unreasonable and it's a huge mansion, okay, if you think you can do that, that's good. Whatever you want to look at, okay. So
yes,
look at the things that you would like. Try to visualize in, you know, actual, in a visual state through our, you know, visual vibration senses. See something you want. See things you want. Go buy houses. Like you say, Dave, sometimes you say, sometimes I like to go to a dealership and I like to drive the cars that I really want.
Absolutely.
Well, I like to test drive those cars. I love that about you, that
definitely,
you do that. Do that.
Yeah, you got
just
to.
Envision and expose your brain and your thoughts.
Yes.
And your feelings to what you want on a more regular basis.
Oh,
and when you
so
go
true
to the, oh, I don't have enough, or, oh, it's going to be so hard, or whatever those thoughts are,
right,
say, I'm focusing on what the good stuff is that I want.
Exactly.
You focus the change. You focus the change.
And
then you do that on a daily basis. It's more like positive affirmations,
right,
but exposing yourself visually and
right,
then mentally, because the mind doesn't know the difference between the actual physical and the thought.
Isn't that interesting? Isn't that
on
interesting?
On a daily basis.
Yes.
And so then what you do is you start to list all of the action steps. I'm all for thought. I'm all for manifestation.
Yes.
But I still think you have to take action into the universe.
Oh, you have to. Oh, you have to. You have
now,
to.
I have a joke going with some of my clients who want a good relationship.
Mm.
And they don't want to go out. They don't want to go out. They don't want to go online. They don't want to have meet and greet dates. They don't want to have coffee dates.
They just want it to come.
And I said, you know, the only guy you're going to meet is the burglar that comes to your house and robs you. You know, that's the only guy you're going to meet.
Okay. Right,
so,
right.
So you have
terrible
to take the, you have to take the step. So do things for you, let's say, in the wealth department. Do
right
things for you. Look at other side jobs you could get, possibly.
Yes, yes.
Look at,
yes,
talk to people.
That bring you joy.
things that you can get involved in to make money.
Yes, little side things that bring you joy. Yeah. Side things that bring you joy. Doug, can I just read this quote really quick? It's out of the same book, the Science of Getting Rich. And this is exactly what we're pertaining to. So original substance, being the molecules that create the physical plane, moves according to its thoughts. Every form and process you see in nature is the visible expression of a thought in original substance, being its full manifestational form. As the formless stuff is thought matter. As the thought matter thinks of a form, so as your thoughts are put to a specific momentum, it takes the form of the momentum in which it was given. Right?
Right.
So,
right.
As it thinks of a motion, it makes that motion. That is the way all things were created in the universe. We live in a thought world, which is part of a thought universe.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So I do apologize for interrupting. That was just a key.
No.
That was a key factor,
right,
in what we were talking about. We have original substance, which is the physical, right?
Yes.
And then we have, which I call potential substance, right? Or
yes,
thought matter, which is,
yes,
still the, it is just as impactful and just as real as original material substance. It's
right,
just existing on a different plane. It's just existing on a non-physical plane that's getting ready to manifest and materialize on a physical plane. Right?
Mm-hmm.
The only difference between thought material and original or organic material is one is manifested and one is in the process of being manifested in the physical. Well, they're both manifested. It's just one is in the physical and one is in the non-physical. Right? That's it. That is the only difference. So if we can adapt these states of mind and these concepts and you know, this understanding, then we literally can understand that the creation of a castle is the same momentum as the creation of a button. It just depends on where the energy is pivoted.
Right. And you know, I'm more into, again, you know, the physiology of the brain and how we can change our brain to change our lives.
Absolutely.
And, I know you're into the spiritual aspect, and I respect that.
But it's all one and the same. It's all one and the same. It really is.
So, I wanted to share with you, just for fun.
Please.
What I'm talking about. And, you know, there's this really famous study that a lot of people who are into changing the brain, you know, talk about.
Yes.
And we were talking about health a little bit earlier, whatever you want better in your life, health, wealth, relationships, and all that. So there was a study done, and I read, you know, the summary of the study. And so here's the thing about the mind and the body, all right? So this is the power of the mind, how it can change the body even. Not even, you know, other things in your life, right? So there were like 8 men in their 70s and 80s who they lived in like Boston, okay? They're sort of healthy guys, but, you know, they were older guys. And they went to a 5-day retreat that was put on by these Harvard, you know, psychologists, and it was headed up by Ellen Langer. So they took like 8 men in their 70s and 80s, and then they took another group of 8 men to this monastery in Peterborough, New Hampshire.
Mm.
And so the men in the first group found themselves surrounded by all these environmental cues. The study was about how to make these people physically get better or feel younger.
Right, right.
Okay. So when they got to the monastery, the 8 men in the first study group were surrounded by all sorts of like environmental cues to help them recreate an earlier age.
Mm.
They had old issues of magazines that were really fascinating and the
wow,
Saturday Evening Post. They had old TV shows on that were like comedies. that reminded them of their
childhood
day in like the 60s, 50s. They listened to old radio shows. They had recordings of old artists. And they also had like recordings of current events and news that they heard on the radio. So it took them back. And they were only exposed to this. Their rooms had all the things from their early age in their 20s. They had like audio and videotapes of like Mickey Mantle, you know,
and
Floyd Patterson, you know, major boxing great star. So all these elements were introduced every day constantly for 5 days to make the men feel that they were like 20 something, 25 years younger.
Right.
And then they just had, with the control group, they had the eight gentlemen just kind of enjoying a retreat, enjoying the outdoors.
But doing the same thing that they had continually been doing, you know, at their current age.
Right. Just going to the monastery and with the monks and looking at the outdoors and hiking and doing things like that. So what happened is after the five-day retreat, the researchers took a lot of measurements and compared them to those that they'd taken before the start of the study. The bodies of the men who experienced for 5 days straight all of these things that were triggered from their 20s, right, were physiologically younger.
No healthier. Way.
Their blood pressures were down.
Wow.
Now, significantly more than the control group that just went to a retreat.
My goodness.
Right? So, I mean, literally, their posture was better, their flexibility was better, their memories were sharper, they scored much better on mental cognition tests.
My goodness.
So the whole thing was, it was stirring up old DNA memories, old subconscious memories,
yes.
Stirring up, making them think they were in a reality that they used to be in their 20s.
So it literally told their brain, right? Just like how we said through the quote of this book, The Science of Getting Rich, the quote says, you know, thoughts are the base material of all matter. So just like that, these test subjects believed, they were so convinced due to the triggering of their memories of when they were in their 20s, they were so convinced.
They were positive memories, by the way. They weren't negative.
Of course.
They were positive. Yes.
Of course. They were convinced. They have to be positive to feel good. Yes. Yes, indeed. They were convinced that, or in a way, you can almost say that they were a little brainwashed to say
absolutely.
That they were, their 23 or 25-year-old selves. And
well, it literally is, if you want to call it brainwashing, because it's reactivating the DNA and the RNA. I mean, we do have what's called plasticity.
Yes, we do. Mental plasticity.
Neuroplasticity.
Neuroplasticity. Yes. So they literally adapted. They, or should I say, they readapted or readopted the. They did not adapt to. They readopted the previous. You know, states of consciousness that they were in when they were that age. So what does that do is it tells the cellular vibrational structures of their body that they are 25 years old.
Right.
That's literally what happens. We are transcending time and space with our minds. Another thing, another quote in this book that I read, and the reason why I'm quoting from this book is because, it's a new read of mine. It's my read for this week, and it's really inspired me to a greater understanding. Is all thoughts and all thing? Or okay, so the mind. This is the quote. The mind does not exist in the physical plane. He says the body exists in the physical plane, the body perceives in the physical plane, but the mind actually physically does not exist in or on the physical plane. Is the body existing in the physical plane and the mind projecting that the body is existing in the physical plane? So, do we actually know if the body exists on the physical plane? No, we don't for a fact. We can only tell from what we see through our eyes and feel through our senses. But what we can prove for a fact is that the mind, consciousness, does not exist on a physical plane. So, literally, Dr. Michelle, what they did is because in their minds, in their consciousness, they vibrated, they told the cells of their body that they were 25 years old.
Right, exactly. It was a constant exposure. They were not allowed to see current events, go online and look at anything that was new, and they were not allowed to discuss their physical problems. Everything was a positive. So this is what they were exposed to. So, you know,
it's amazing.
I'm not saying, by the way, go live in your past. That's not the meaning of what I'm saying.
I'm saying
when we think of things that bring us a positive feeling, fun things we had, last week. So whether it's joyful or stressful, with every thought we think and every emotion we feel and every event we experience, we're acting like engineers of our own selves.
Yes.
So, you know, how we program ourselves is based on our perceptions and beliefs, how we change. We can change our bodies. We can change our, action energy to produce, to make money, to feel better, to become healthier and get better relationships. So if we are excited about things and visualize and write down, journal, and accept that we're worthy of certain things, and then make plans to do those things, make plans, you're kind of programming our genes ahead of actually what's happening.
Exactly.
If you believe, old concept,
of course.
If you know, it will happen.
Yes.
If you know, it will happen.
That's beautifully
and
said.
And you're more resilient to stuff that comes along the way and kind of knocks us off our balance.
Yes.
You have a lot more resilience.
So true, Doc.
You know
it is so
what
true.
The goal in mind is.
You know
that you're okay and you're focused.
Absolutely, Doc. You know what? That is such a key concept of today's show is, you know, you really need to stay focused in the vibration of what you wish to attract. And I think that if we just keep that understanding and that concept present in our minds, we will be very, very successful individuals as a collective planet. Doc, I want to thank you so much for sharing your time and your beautiful, ever-expansive knowledge here on the Vibration Station on LA Talk Radio. I want to make sure that every single listener makes 100% make sure to check out. That's number one, www.talkshowtherapist.com. And also, make sure to tune in to Dr. Michelle on the Couch every Friday at 11 a.m. on latalkradio.com, channel 1. Thank you so much, Doc, for spending your time and shedding your knowledge here on the show with us. We love all, everything about you.
Thanks, Jimmy. Always my pleasure to be on your show. Thanks so much.
We'll see you soon, Doc. Thanks for everything. And all listeners, all the unconditional love, light, happiness, joy, and laughter from our hearts to yours. Thank you guys so much. Make sure to follow at Good Vibe Station on Twitter. And we'll see you next Sunday. We love you guys. I'm your host, Davey. And as always, raise your vibration. Bye-bye.